Well, we are in the midst of a study, really beginning the study in 2 Thessalonians, so go ahead and take your Bibles and turn there. We're going to get that to there in just a minute. I'm going to remind you of where we were last week, and then we're going to kind of hit some same passages, and I'll tell you why in just a second. But let's remember what Paul was teaching them. And he opens up in verses 1 and 2 this normal salutation, this greeting, hi, how are you doing? And yet Paul always goes deeper in by saying to the Thessalonians that it was the God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says there is grace, and God pours out his grace upon us. And he wooed the Thessalonians to himself. And because they embraced the truth of Jesus Christ for themselves, they now have peace with God. Those who have not embraced the truth of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, are under God's wrath. And even though they don't know they're under God's wrath, they are under God's wrath. And the only way out of that is through Jesus Christ. And Paul was reminding them, as he does in all of his letters, that they had a relationship with God through Jesus Christ because God poured out his grace. And I think that's really important for us. I mean, if it was so important for Paul to greet all of the churches in with that same sort of formula, grace and peace through the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father, then I think it's important for us to realize that for us who have embraced the truth of Jesus Christ, that's huge. To know that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I can be reminded of that every day, never tire of it, because it is the life changer. It is the eternity changer for all who embraced the truth that God has poured his goodness into our lives through Jesus Christ and wrapped us in his love. The second reminder was this, that God was at work in their lives. Even through the persecution and affliction that they were going through, that difficult time, God was at work. And in fact, he had so changed them that their faith grew, their love grew, and they were not the same people that Paul knew when he left town. He got actually run out of town. They had changed. They grew in their faith. And so Paul saw what was going on and said, man, God is so at work in your life. And he was just challenged by that. Again, God's at work, and he never leaves us alone. God always wants to help us grow in Christ. And so he allows things to come into your life. And again, I take great comfort in that. As hard as it may be, it's great comfort to know that God is working in my life to knock out the ungodly and put in the holy. And I think that's just a precious truth, again, that we often need reminded of. And the last one, it kind of ties us all together, and it was Paul reminding them that they are God's children. Even though he put them through affliction and allowed persecution to come into their life, God was actively pursuing them. And he was, again, making them godly, conforming them to the image of Christ. And as a Christian, the most important thing that we have to understand is that that's what God wants in our life. He wants to conform us into the image of his Son. When we embrace Jesus Christ, our Lord, that's what he predestined us to become. In fact, Paul said in verse 6 of Philippians, he who began a good work, well, he'll complete it. His goal in our life is to make us more and more like Jesus, and that confirms that we are his children. And again, how precious is that thought? That the God of the universe, God Almighty, the one who spoke and it was, has a relationship with me and has adopted me, Larry. Into his family. He knew me when I was just, listen, my wife didn't like me. She would have never, ever been my friend. But God adopted me with all my sins, all my warts, all my ugliness, all of my stupid selfishness. He adopted me when I was yet a vile sinner. He brought me into his family. And now he just pours his love on me. What an amazing truth, because I am a child of God. And I think those truths just, we constantly in over the course of our lives need reminded again and again and again of those things. Well, today we're going to look at one of those truths, that's that middle one, that God is at work in our life. We're going to go a little deeper. And that's the beauty of God's word, is that you can read God's word, pull truth out of it, go back a week later and reread it and go, oh, there's more. You can go back a week after that and reread it and go, oh man, I didn't see that. And so God's word, you can never plow the depth of God's word. There's always more and more truth that we can draw out of the text that is pertinent to your life and what God has allowed into your life. He always speaks through his word. So today, we're going to go back through verses 3 and 4 because I think there's more there that God would have us glean from his word today. And so the question I hope to answer by going back is this. The Thessalonians remained under affliction. The Thessalonians remained under persecution. When it would have been easy to just say, I'm done, I'm walking away, this is just too hard, I don't want to go through this anymore, let me move and start over and no one will know I'm a Christian. But they didn't. So the question I hope to answer is, what drove them to endure? What drove them to persevere in the midst of affliction and persecution that you and I have never experienced? We have other trials and other things that go on in our life, but we've never experienced that. But what kept them there? Because all of us are driven by something. If you ask the majority in the world, they're driven by whatever they can get, right? It's that almighty dollar and the best house and the great car and the biggest toys, you know, the guy with the most toys, what? Wins, because that's what drives most of the world. Other things that drive us are just the satisfaction of accomplishment. I want to do a good job, and so I want to get to this level, I want to meet that goal, and so we're driven to meet that goal, and then when that goal is met, we get driven to another goal. But it drives us that we want to accomplish something, and maybe you're thinking that, you know, I just want to be better. I want to be a good guitar player, so I'm going to work and really hone my craft and become a very good guitar player, or I want to be a better singer, or I want to be a better golfer. You know, I want to be better at trivia. I don't know what it is. You just want to be better, and so you practice and practice. You want to be the best at whatever it is that you want to be, and yet there's another one that sometimes we don't even think about. Sometimes we're driven by not to be bothered. No, don't bug me. I just want to go off into my own little world, and that's what drives me, and so I push everyone away or not get involved or not do anything because I don't want to be bothered. I want to just relax and not be pushed, and so just, you know, I let me be my own little wallflower and disappear. But that's what's driving you. So we're all driven by something. What was driving the Thessalonians to endure? What was causing them to persevere week after week after week? Remember, this church was born in affliction. When Paul went and preached 3 weeks in the synagogue, and then they drove him out of the synagogue. We don't know how long he stayed, but it was a short time in Thessalonica before the city council and the Jewish people, they drove him out. And so this church was birthed in the midst of hardship. And yet they remained. Months and months later, when Paul sends Timothy to go check on them, he finds out, oh, they're still fighting the good fight. They're still struggling. They're still persevering. What caused that? And so let's bring it into our little world. Maybe we don't go through affliction and persecution that they went through, but what's driving you to endure in the trial or tribulation that you're facing? I don't know what they are, but everyone's facing something in this world. We're all facing something, and maybe it's not big, and maybe it's small, but maybe you're at a point where you say, I just don't want to do this anymore. I don't want this job, I don't want this relationship, I don't want what's going on in my life right now, I'm just tired of it, I'm just kind of worn out. How then do we maintain the passion for Jesus Christ if we just want to give up? If God's at work in our life and he's allowing something to come in, how do we endure, how do we maintain that heat under fire, how do we stay there? I mean, if God is at work, how do we do it? Well, look at verses 3 and 4. And I think as we explore deeper into this text, I think we find out how and why. And so let's look at verses 3 and 4. It says this, we ought to always give thanks to God for you, brethren. It's only fitting because your faith is greatly enlarged and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. So God was doing something and their faith and their love was blossoming. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of persecutions and affliction, which you endure. So two times in that passage, he says, man, you persevere, you endure. Great affliction and persecutions that you and I just don't imagine. What is the key to their endurance? Well, I think it's a two-part. It's side A and side B of the same coin. You can't have one without the other. And so the first thing is side A, and we hit on this last week, but I want to dig deeper into it. And it is God's work in our life. And what we need to do is understand the value of God's work in our life. It's one thing to acknowledge that God's working. It's another thing to say, man, I value that. Because if we value what God is doing in life, then we can endure. Because if someone comes up to you and you're going through a trial and they say, suck it up, buttercup, how long does that keep you into the trial? Not very long, does it? I mean, and I'll explain it later. I think there's a place for a gentle suck it up buttercup. But most of the time, it's like, thank you so much. And it doesn't cause us to want to stay under the trial. It doesn't cause us not to want to throw in the towel. How about, I'm sorry you're going through this. Again, there's value to that, and it's better than suck it up, buttercup, but it doesn't often keep us in the fight for a long time. Yes, someone comes on and says, I'm sorry you're facing this, but then they leave. What keeps you in the fight? What keeps you standing up and fighting and enduring the trial or the tribulation that you're going through? Notice when Paul in here, he didn't say, just hang in there either. You know, it'll be over soon, just hang tough. And you, I always picture when you say, hang in there, you see that cat on the end of the rope, you know, that little picture. And it's just like, hang in there. Well, how far does that keep you in the fight? How long can you hang on there? I guarantee you that cat fell sooner or later. And so it just doesn't work, you know. Sometimes God in our life, there's a trial that doesn't end. In fact, he's never promised that the trial will end. If a doctor comes in and says, listen, your health is failing, and there's no medical thing that we can do to improve your health, you know it's not going to end. You know, if you had a financial loss and you lost everything, I can tell you what, that may not end for a very, very long time. You're not going to see the light at the end of the tunnel, maybe for a long time, if ever. And so hang in there. It'll be over soon. Doesn't quite work. So Paul doesn't say, suck it up, buttercup. He doesn't say, I'm sorry. And he doesn't say, hang in there, it'll be over soon. What he says is, what I see God at work in your life. I see your love growing and your faith deepening. Because that means something. It'll keep you in the fight for a very long time. So when we know that God is at work in our life, that causes us to endure. Other things just simply don't. Suck it up, buttercup, I'm sorry, it will be over soon, hang in there. Compare that to, listen, here's what I see in your life going on. I know this is difficult, here's what I see. God is doing something in your life. You're not the same person you used to be. I see your faith deepening, I see your love growing. Man, you are not the same person that I knew 6 months ago when this all began. I see God doing something in your life. Listen, that will keep you standing firm. That'll strengthen your legs underneath, your spiritual legs underneath it. It'll strengthen you to keep staying in that fight. And when you know God's doing something, it matters. You know, in Scripture, there's several references to God refining his children. And when you look what they used to do, a metal worker, a metalsmith, he would take gold or silver and he would chop the ore up in little bits. And they would throw it in a fire, and at about 2,000 degrees, that fire begins to melt everything, and two things happen. The gold or the silver, because it's heavier, drops to the bottom, and then all the impurities either burn off or they start binding together. And when they bind together, especially with a lead-based atom, they bind together and they race to the top. I know that doesn't make sense because lead's heavy too, but those impurities get to the top, and it says the smelter, the iron worker, will scrape off the dross. And that's what God's doing in our life. He's taking the impurities out of our life, the dross, and he's scraping it off. And I can tell you what, that matters. When we see that happening and when we come along somebody and tell them that you know, listen, I understand God's turned up the heat, but look what he's doing in your life. Man, that makes a difference. Again, it helps us stay in the fight. And it helps us to endure the trial. And I know that we always need someone in our corner. And I will submit to you that there's a time, I don't think we ever need suck it up, buttercup. But I think there's time when we have tough love and someone comes in and says, listen, this trial's hard. You need to stand up in this. When David had turned over the reins of the kingdom to his son Solomon, he told his son, hey, listen, it's time to be counted as a man. It's time to stand up. To get a backbone is what he was saying in a vernacular. It's time to stand up. And Solomon had to face some tough trials early on. There's a time when we need to come along somebody and tell them that I'm sorry you're going through this and give them a hug and support them and have sympathy and empathy. I think there's a place for that. And we all need that. I think there's also a time when we come up and say, listen, I know this is a struggle. But there's an end to it. You know, think of people who are going through chemotherapy. You know, they need to know there's an end. And I know when my wife went through that, we knew that this was for a year of our a treatment, or when she was going through the trials, and they said, well, it's only a week. We knew there was an end, and that mattered. So there's time we can say, listen, you can hang in there for this long. But again, it only supports us this far. But when we come in and say, listen, you can do this, and here's what I see God doing in your life, boy, that matters. That's what makes a huge difference. Is when we say, yes, I'm sorry you're going through this, but man, God is doing a work in your heart and in your life that I don't think you see, and I don't think you understand that how you've changed and how God is using that to make you softer and to make you more into his image, and we see Christ in you like we've never seen before. Doesn't that make a difference? Rather than, oh, I'm so sorry, or hey, get a backbone, or yeah, it'll be over soon, just tough it out. When we come gently with somebody and then add God is at work in your life, it makes the trials and the tribulations and the difficulties and the hardships that we face worth fighting for, because we see God at work in our life. You know, God, truth that we've come to know over and over again is that God never wastes a moment in your life, ever. You are so important to him that he will use anything and everything just to show you how much you mean to him. He will absolutely use anything and everything to show you that he loves you with a deep, abiding passion, so much that he was willing to sacrifice his son in your place. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Greater has man has no love than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. God loves you that much. And so I want to take you through a couple of passages of Scripture that talks about refining in the process and point out some things of how important it is that God refines us and then what we can grab onto. And the first is Isaiah chapter 48:10. He says, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. Now, what grabs me out of that verse is, behold, I have refined you. This is God doing something in my life. I'm so important that God is wanting to refine me. It isn't like, oh, yeah, I don't care. I'll let you go. Whatever. No, I've refined you. I've allowed affliction to come in your life because I want you to be more like Jesus. I can grab onto that, can't you? I mean, that's important. That stirs my heart that God is interested in me. Peter put it this way, in this you greatly rejoice, even though for now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. He said various trials because, listen, they were going through a bunch of different things. And there's a bunch of different things in this room that we're going through. All the trials aren't the same. He says, you've been distressed, you've been put under the gun by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So here's what I grab onto. God is allowing this affliction, these various trials to come on, because I'm being molded and shaped into the image of Jesus, so that when he is revealed, I'm revealed in him. The work that God has done in me reflects the Lord Jesus Christ. I can grab onto that. That's important. That's precious. That'll keep me in the fight. It'll keep me enduring. It'll keep me with spiritual legs that are stronger than if I thought God didn't care at all. In fact, if I thought God didn't care, I'd just walk away. It wouldn't be worth it. But God loves me enough to use anything and everything in my life to make me more like Jesus. How about the prophet Zechariah at the end of his book, which is an incredibly wonderful book, he says, I will refine them as silver is refined and test them as gold is tested. And they will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God, is our God. What's he saying? Man, I'm going to refine them. I'm going to put them through the ringer. I'm going to heat it up in their life so that our relationship has meat. Our relationship, so that they will call on my name and I will answer them. Again, the best thing in our life is a relationship with God. And so if he's putting me through the refiner's fire so that my relationship with him grow, can't we hold on to that? Won't that keep me fighting because my relationship with God is growing? The refining process, God is causing me to know him better. And I know that that's his purpose in my life is that I get drawn closer to him in relationship with him. See, I can hold on to those things. See, again, God will use anything and everything in our life to show me I'm valued by him, that he has a purpose for what I'm going through. that he's drawing me to himself, that my relationship is getting deeper, that I'm being conformed into the image of his son, and he will refine me even through the furnace of affliction. See, if we don't believe that God is doing that, and then my relationship with God is just warm fuzzies, oh, I love God and God loves me, then I will not stand in the fight. But if I know God values me enough and loves me enough that he will put me through the refiner's fire where I have to struggle and I have to fight, but it's because he's doing something in my life with great purpose that lasts for all eternity, then I can say, it's worth it. I value this. God has a purpose. And yes, it's no fun, and yes, it's hard, but the outcome is I know God better, and I love him more, and I'm more like Jesus. This last couple of months, and especially this last week, that really came home to Grace and I, because my daughter is going through the refiner's fire, if you will. And I talked to her and I asked her if I could share this, not without going through all the details, but I want to share what has been going on in her life just a little bit. She was hurt by some people that she considered close friends, and I'm not talking a little hurt. This was a deep hurt, betrayal and so forth, and just ugliness that comes sometimes in our life. And she said, this will leave a lasting scar. She said, in her words, this will stay with me a long time. So these were really hard things to happen in her life. And God just turned up the heat is what he was doing. He was refining her, and it wasn't any fun, and it was very, very painful. And Grace and I would tell her many times, listen, don't miss out on what God's doing. You know, don't not miss his lesson in your life. Because in our terms of refining, he was scraping off the dross. He was turning up the heat to take out the ugly and leave in the holy. And we wanted her to grab onto that lesson. And in the midst of this, over the last several months, she called. And one time she said, Dad, God has answered all of my prayers. And she goes, I didn't think he would. And I said, well, what does that mean? And she says, God loves me. He heard my cry. He heard my plea in the midst of my pain, in the midst of this hurt, in the midst of the heat rising in her life. God was scraping off that dross, all those impurities. And she said, God knows me. And I would suggest at this point in her life, she knows God better than she's ever known God, because he put her through this. And this week she called me in the middle of the day, and my phone has this, you know, the klaxon alarm, like on a ship. And so every time it calls, it makes you jump. And about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I was working on some stuff, and she called, and I kind of went, uh-oh, because you never know, right? She's been going through difficult times, and she calls me in the middle of the afternoon, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, this could be really good, or this could be really bad. Or it could be somewhere in the middle. So the options were all open. And so I asked her, I go, okay, Coda, how are you doing? And her pat answer to everything is, I'm fine. Doesn't matter if she's not fine or not. Her pat answer is fine. I'm sure she gets it from her mom. But everything is, I'm fine. And we know by the tone, it's not fine. Well, this time she said, I'm fine. And I went, oh, her tone was different. There was something in her voice that I'm like, okay, well, tell me what's going on. And she said, Dad, I had a long conversation with God last night. And again, that can be good or that can be bad. And it's good in this spiritual sense, but the outcome, you never know where she's going. And she said, I had a very long conversation with God last night. And then she said this, and I quote, it doesn't matter what happened. It doesn't matter what took place. And remember, this was hard and painful, probably some of the most painful times in her life. And she said, I want what God wants for me. That's the bottom line. All of that ugliness that went on in her life, what she came to the end, and she's still in the midst of it, it's not over, but she said, Dad, I want what God wants for my life more than anything else. God had took her through that to get her to that point. And I would say, isn't that worth it? all the hurt, all the pain, to get to a point where what you want is God's will to be done. That makes it worth it. That's the most precious thing as a follower of Jesus Christ we could ever want. His refining process drew them together, where she could say, I will call upon the Lord, and he will answer me. They will be my people, and I will be their God. Man, there's nothing better than that, folks. There's nothing more precious than to know God intimately and to know that even though he allowed this to happen, because you know what? He could take it away, right? But he doesn't, because he wants us to know him better, to trust him more, to love him more, and to reflect him in a greater way. And it takes many times going through the refiner's fire to know that it is worth it. God working in our life to cause us to endure is precious, but that's side A. So the question is, what's side B? If side A is God working in our life, what's side B? Well, side B is our part. It's what we do. Paul knew that God was at work increasing their faith and growing their love. But we, our part, we must join in with what God is doing. We must exercise our faith and respond in love, because it is never just God's side and it is never just my side. It is God working in the midst of my circumstances to cause me to grow and cause me to love more. But I have to want it. I have to desire that. Otherwise, I'm just fighting God the whole time. I'm just, no, I don't want that. And I want to get out of the fight instead of staying in it. I want to get out of the trial instead of enduring through the trial and allow him to work. And so our part is to respond, to exercise our faith and respond in love through the difficulties and trial that God brings into our life. And look at what Paul said in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, he tells them, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's our part. That's what we do. But look what he tags with it. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That's God's part. Now, I would submit to you there's biblical tension there. Where does our part end and begin, and where does God's part end and begin? I'm going to tell you, I don't know. I don't care. I know they're true. That verse is true. And where God's work begins and my work begins and how they meld together, it doesn't matter. I know they're both true. And so I have to respond, and God is going to be at work. And so I have to work out my salvation, my walk with God with fear and trembling. And I know that God is working in my life to accomplish his will and for his good pleasure. See, growing in Christ is never one or the other. It is us working out our salvation and him working in us. And we let that biblical tension remain there. And we just agree with God's word. And so I know that I have to respond in faith with whatever God has allowed into my life. And faith isn't some point in my past. You know, and sometimes we point to that point in time. For me, it was when I was 27 years old and I accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Some, for you, is maybe at a camp meeting or maybe at a Sunday morning service, and you walk forward and you accepted, embraced the truth of Jesus Christ. Paul's not talking about faith that was. He's talking about a faith that has a present reality in our life, something that's happening right here, right now, in the midst of that fiery furnace, in the midst of that testing. It's a present reality of trusting God for a future, for my future, for my good, and for his glory. That's what faith is. Faith is that present reality. And love's the same way. Love is not some warm, fuzzy thing that we're talking about. It's a choice, it's a decision to follow God, and then out of that to show care and concern for others. It's a love that is active, not passive, and not just, oh, I feel good and gives me tingles. It's a love that is measured in some way. So let's pick out an example, and I want to pick one that we all have. All of us have a struggle. There's always something in our life that we're struggling with. There is some sin, some temptation that keeps coming up again and again and again. If it's not one thing, you work through that, God will bring up something else. And there's some temptation that we're going to face, and it may be a major battle that you're really, really fighting and struggling for. It may be a minor skirmish, but it's there. And it's always there. And so God puts you in a situation where you have to face that sin head on. What do? You have to respond in faith and love. One of the two. See, if I'm going to respond in faith, then I have to make a choice. Do I believe that God is able to give me the strength to overcome that temptation? Is God and the victory that he accomplished on the cross for Jesus Christ bigger and stronger and more powerful than the temptation that I faced? Is the death of Jesus Christ, which broke the power of sin over that temptation, is that real? Am I going to exercise my faith to believe that? Or am I going to look at the temptation and say, I just can't fight it, oh well, and give in? See, there's that, we have to respond in faith in some way. Because how I respond in faith will either show the littleness of my faith, or it will strengthen my resolve to follow God. No, God, I don't have to have that temptation. You won that victory. It does not have authority, does not have power in my life, and I don't care how strong the temptation is. I am just leaning on you and getting my spiritual strength to walk in faith with you so that temptation is gone. And then we just avoid it and we go on. We conquer that temptation and move on. Could be a question of love. Do I love the temptation, whatever that is, more than I love God? Oh. So maybe I believe that Jesus Christ conquered it and broke the power of sin. But now it becomes a question, do I love God enough not to feed my flesh and whatever that temptation is? Or maybe it's how much I love someone else. You know, I don't know what the stats are. I didn't look it up, but I know that in the church and in the world, pornography for men and women is just always on the increase. And so the question becomes, do I love my spouse more than what I see on the screen? So it becomes a question of love. Do I love them more? Maybe it's not a question of God. I love God, but do I love them more than to turn that computer off and walk away? Maybe to throw it out because it's too strong of a temptation. See, who do I love more? It's always a question of faith or a question of love. That's why Paul says, man, I see it in your life. How about another one? Maybe you've been praying for someone again and again and again and again and again, and you're just worn out. You don't know if they'll ever, ever accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior or whether they will ever respond to the truth. And so you get discouraged, you get disgruntled, you get worn out, you're weary, and you say, what? It doesn't matter. God's never going to answer this prayer. It's a question of faith. Do I believe that God can so work in their life to get them to a point where they would embrace the truth of Jesus Christ? Do I pray, God, do whatever it takes, take anything away or add something to their life, whatever it takes to let them have a moment in which they see the truth of who you are? Or maybe it's this. This is a harder prayer. God, change me so that I only reflect Jesus Christ to them. That's a tough prayer. They may never respond to the truth, but I'm going to give them in me everything that I can for the cause of Jesus Christ. So they can't reject the gospel because they can't say, well, you don't do this. So will I believe that God can so change me that they will see me and say, you know, what you say you believe, you really believe. And if it's valuable enough to you, maybe I ought to look into it. Or maybe it's just simple, a question of love. Do I love God enough to keep praying? Because he says to pray. I want none to perish, but all to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do I believe that? And therefore, will I love God enough to keep praying for them for that? Or maybe I'm so frustrated and so burned out because the truth has been in front of them for year after year after year, and they just don't want to have anything to do it. Do I love them enough to keep praying? Keep seeking, keep following, and keep being faithful to God. See, whatever the circumstances, you could have a rebellious child, you can have a difficult worker at work, you can have some bully at school, and it's always going to boil down to, will I respond in faith or act in love? It always will. Whatever the circumstance is always going to be true. Will I have to work out my salvation with fear and trembling? By showing greater faith or showing greater love so that God can work his will into my life for his good pleasure. It always boils down to that. There is a side A and a side B. God working in my life to grow my faith, to increase my love, and for me to respond in faith and to respond in love. Side A and side B are the keys to endurance. We each have a part. It's not one or the other. So I don't know what you're going through. And we're not told through the scripture, 1st or 2nd Thessalonians, either one of these books, all the details of what they were going through. And I don't know what their thinking process was of why they stayed in the fight. I don't know what went on in their mind. But I was imagining, if I was there and if I had to concisely say what their process was, I think it would go something like this. God, I'll be honest here. I'm worn out and I want out. But more than that, I'm willing to grow. As hot as a furnace is, heated up, so that the dross of my life will be removed. You see, Father, I want more love for you and for others. So leave me here under this trial. Refine me so that I might become more and more like Jesus, because that's all that matters. And when you're done, Lord, take me out of this process that I may praise you for all that you have done. They may have not said it in those terms. But see, when we're going through the trial, what will keep us there is knowing that God is doing something in my life for his pleasure, for our good, that will proclaim the wonder of Jesus Christ. And that is worth it. That is worth staying under the trial. That is worth fighting the good fight. That is worth standing tall for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know as hard as it is, but I guarantee you, suck it up, buttercup, won't work. I'm sorry, will only last so long. Oh, there's light at the end of the tunnel, and you know what we'll say? Yeah, it's an oncoming train. But I see God at work in your life. I see God increasing your faith. I see God deepening your love for him and for others, and it's beautiful. That will keep us in the fight. That will give us spiritual legs to stand tall for Jesus Christ. So I don't know what you're going through. And again, in a room with 75, 80 people, there's a bunch. A lot of different trials. A lot of different things that are hard in your life. But God is using them to mold and shape you to the image of Christ. That's what drove the Thessalonians. And that's what needs to drive us. That God is at work in our life to make us more and more like Jesus. And so the question I leave you with is this. Do you want out? Or do you want left in? A lot of us say, we just want out. But if God's molding me and shaping me into the image of his son, you know what? Leave me in, Lord. Leave me there and tell him exactly who you want me to be so that I reflect the image and beauty of Jesus my Lord and my Savior better, because that is worth it. Let's pray. Father, thank you that in my life, you've used a lot of difficult things to help me become more like Jesus. And I know in this world, I will face other things, other trials, other difficult things that will come. And I know you'll put me through the refiner's fire, because Father, what you want in me is the beauty of your Son. So, Father, I pray for us in this room, and I don't know what the trials are that everyone is going through. I know there are some deep hurts, and I know there are some difficult situations. And, Lord, I come alongside, and I know it. I've seen it in so many people's lives. You are at work. And, Father, you're drawing them ever so close, and some of them are crying out, Father, this is all that matters. My circumstances are horrible. What matters most is that I'm knowing you in a way that I would have never known you. I'm being changed into the image of Christ in a way that I would have never known had you not allowed this heat in my life to get so hot. If you wouldn't allow this trial, then I would just been the same old, and I don't want to be that. I want to be more like Jesus today than I was yesterday. So, Father, strengthen my resolve. I cling to you. In the trial and the hurt and the heartache, I hold tight to you so that you will increase my faith and that you will cause my love to explode, both for you and for others. And so, Father, do whatever it takes to make me more like your Son, because that's why I'm here. Mold me and shape me into Jesus. And it's in his name we pray.